Why do you say Nigerian jollof?
Well, because if I said anything else, the wrath of my ancestors will come down and smite me for all eternity. So yeah, Nigerian without any hesitation.
All right, what is going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sports Stories with Bic here on Raw Football Talk. Thank you to everyone who shows love to us each and every single week on the multiple platforms. Obviously, we are on Instagram, on Twitter, even the 5 or 10 of you guys that are on TikTok. I promise that every single week I will show love to you guys. So thank you guys for that. And for those of you guys that also like our merch, our jerseys, and our t-shirts that have been supporting on that end as well, we truly want to thank you. Today, we have a special guest on the show. We have Ibrahim Mustafa. He is a sports journalist and a presenter. He is the author of No Longer Naive, African Football's Growing Impact at the World Cup, which here in the States will be out on the 1st of next year, January 1st. It is already out on different countries as well. And his past stops include the Daily Mirror, Eurosport, and BBC Sport. So Ibrahim, first and foremost, thank you for hopping on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, Bic, thanks for having me on. First and foremost, before we go into it, can I ask about the merch? Like, where can I get a Raw Football Talk t-shirt?
Well, we appreciate your support. I will have to send that over to you. You just contact me. Well, you've already expressed interest, so we'll just have to talk after the show.
wonderful. Yeah, definitely. We're up for that. Definitely up for that. So yeah, about myself. You've done a beautiful enough intro there. It's I've been a journalist, sports journalist for some years now. Big football fan. I started, I'm probably on the older end of the scale for a lot of your listeners. So I grew up in the 90s. I was very much hooked on football pretty much as soon as I could play. From about 6-7 years old, the first World Cup I watched was the 1990 World Cup. Growing up in London, I was present at the sort of advent of the Premier League when it began in 1992. Obviously, English football existed long before that, but as it is now, the entity that is the Premier League began in 1992, and I very much remember that as a young child and seeing how that has grown and developed and become essentially the biggest football league in the world right now, and just the influx of overseas players and foreign players, and how that is, it's now a global thing rather than just this thing in England, and how it's become this huge inclusive thing that fans from around the world love and debate and argue about. And, you know, it's, yeah. And so, yeah, obviously growing up through that era period, seen some fantastic footballers, and just, you know, when I realized I wasn't good enough to become a football player when I was in my teens, I thought to myself, yeah, I want to stay in football in some way, shape or form. And I figured journalism was the way forward. You know, I didn't think of myself as a great writer or even confident enough to do broadcasting, but that's the way it's turned out, unfortunately. Well, fortunately for me. I didn't know what I wanted to do in journalism, but I just knew I wanted to be involved when I was younger, and I sort of pushed myself towards that, and here we are now. The bumps in the road in the journalistic career, nothing is ever smooth, regardless of what anyone tells you. For example, the start of 2020, I was made redundant from one of my jobs. So basically I was let go. And I thought to myself, yeah, I'm going to take some time out, you know, chill for a bit. I just brought my first child into the world. My partner did. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do some dad stuff for a couple of months and then get back into the swing of work after that. But then the world shut down, didn't it? You know, the pandemic hit and left me in a bit of a bind, so I couldn't really, there wasn't really much out there. I picked up some freelance gigs writing, but there was nothing that was permanent that I could really latch onto at the time. So I thought to myself, I've got time now, so let's put this idea that I've had for a number of years down. Let's just get it out there. And that was what prompted me to write the book, No Longer Naive, African Football's Growing Impact at the World Cup. There aren't many books out there currently which document the history of African football internationally or at the World Cup. So I thought it was something that I could definitely do just based purely on my interest on this in the subject. And yeah, and then now it's available for the buy for people. So I hope people enjoy it if they can get their hands on it.
Nice. Now that is a great story of triumph, I believe. I mean, it's an interesting dynamic for me. January 2020 hit and I had my dream job, the job that I love the most. And then 2 months later, the whole world shut down and I was unemployed for a little bit. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. And also when it comes to writing a book about African football, I remember one of the first books that I read when I was little had Pele doing an acrobatic bicycle kick in the cover. And I remember reading that book and just feeling so nostalgic, you know, now that I'm thinking about it. Because it was one of the books that I'd read as a child, and it's amazing. And you're right. Not many books, you know, you have a lot of football books. They talk about maybe European football, South American football. Not many talk about African football. And it is representation is key in everything, not just in football, but in all facets of life. And it's great that you mentioned that, because you're just like, wow, you know, I have time. Boom, let me start a passion project or let me write a book. And that's essentially how it was for me. It's like, I was actually running out of time. I was finishing up university. I'm thinking, okay, I got to get something under my belt. So we started this podcast. So it's amazing what happens when life turns full circle. And also when life turns upside down, you kind of have to be a bit creative. And the journalism industry, you know, it's very cutthroat sometimes. You know, there's people I know, like a guest on this podcast, that told me that he had to get laid off. Him and a lot of anchors had to get laid off. And this is someone that's won 9 Emmy Awards. So one day you could be at the top of your game. The next day you could be in the unemployment line. So it's just how the business works.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not gonna name the company because I don't want to put them in. It's not necessary to name the company, but yeah, they just turned around to us and said, "Right, guys, we don't really need the sports team anymore. So, see ya," kind of thing. And it was a real shock to the system, considering how big the company is and how we thought things were going to go. And then, like you say, yeah, cutthroat, they just turned around and said, yeah, it's not the right time or whatever. And there we go. We were all gone, our whole team. So yeah, but thankfully everyone has landed on their feet and found something. So yeah, as far as I know. So yeah, it's one door closes, another opens, I think. So
very true. That's good. Next up, I would say, still talking about journalism, there's a huge difference that maybe people on the outside are not so sure about, or they might not know, or something that can be a bit confusing. So I wanted to ask you to clarify, what's the difference between a journalist and a presenter?
Okay, so journalism is, journalism is so broad, it doesn't really cover any specific thing. Journalism is, you know, it's sort of disseminating the news, it's going out, it's reporting, it's writing, it's editing, it's pulling it together, it's chopping it, changing it. It's a whole load of things that encompass, and it covers many different platforms now. It's not just writing for the newspapers, as it were, in the past, and now online. It is making video, it is producing, it is editing, like I say, it is crafting, it is photography, it is graphics, it is statistics. That's all different types of journalism, and they all seem to come under the banner of journalism. So, you know, if someone turns around to you and says, "I want to be a journalist," you'll be like, "Cool, what part of journalism do you want to do?" And yeah, there's a lot of that. Whereas presenting is, of course, quite specific. It's what, you know, I did a bit of presenting for when I was working for Yahoo, just online, and previously at The Mirror as well. And yeah, it was just some online digital video, quick wraps of the daily news, which again can be encompassing journalism because I was finding the stories, I was writing my own scripts, which is all journalism, but I was presenting it. So I was front of camera and being the one who was, you know, presenting the videos as they were.
Okay, no, thank you. That's something that really needed clarification, because, you know, the difference between like punditry or being a presenter or a journalist, you, like you said, it's something that kind of encompasses Like if you're a journalist, like you mentioned, I think nowadays you have to be like a Swiss Army knife. You have to be the person that's shooting the content, the B-roll, editing it, writing the script, presenting it. And it's funny, you know, I think I saw a clip or I saw a headline that said for a Super Bowl commercial that's about 30 seconds, it takes about 6 months of prep. And I mean, you would think, oh, it's only 30 seconds, but you have to get the right people. You have to get the right studio. You have to get the timing. And I mean, this is something that's worth $1 million. So everything has to be correct. And, you know, the editing, the footage and that sort of thing. So it's great for those of us that are in the business to tell, you know, those who just might be from the outside looking in how it works, because it's a very glamorous job, but it's very tedious, takes long hours, and it's something that you prep for. And even when you go live, something bad can happen. You just have to be on your toes and be able to work it out, like on while you're live, while you're just thinking on your feet, that sort of thing. So thank you for the clarification. Now, this segment is, I believe it's something that you will enjoy. It's a new segment to the show, but this is something that a lot of the guests have been enjoying and having a great time with. So it's called the Pick One segment. I will give you two options that I believe that you would love, and you have to pick one. So it's okay. Very simple. Okay. First, for pick one, Nigerian jollof or Ghanaian jollof?
Oh, Nigerian. No brainer there.
Now, why do you say Nigerian jollof?
Well, because if I said anything else, the wrath of my ancestors will come down and smite me for all eternity. So, yeah, Nigerian without any hesitation at all. Although I think I do actually have some Ghanaian sort of heritage further back. So yeah, maybe those ancestors will be a bit annoyed with me right now as well. So, you know, but even more immediately, it's Nigerian. So I am going to stick with the Nigerian family there.
Okay, sounds good. I was just going to ask, like, what is the difference between Nigerian jollof and Ghanaian jollof? Because it is a huge debate. You know, if I ask my Ghanaian friends, they would say Ghanaian jollof. If I ask my Nigerian friends, they say Nigerian jollof. So what's the difference?
If there are differences, they are minimal. I mean, the recipes, they change within the countries. They, you know, people do things differently. I mean, a lot of it is the name. It's just saying, you know, it's a national thing to say that, yep, my nation's is better than your nation's, because if you go within Nigeria itself, there'll be different people will cook jollof rice in different ways, and yeah, it'll taste different. Some taste better, some taste worse, and I'm sure it's the same in Ghana as well. So I think, you know, it's just more about national pride than it is about the actual recipe itself. So
fair enough, makes sense. Pick one: Lionel Messi or Diego Armando Maradona.
Messi. Yeah, just because of, again, it's probably more recency bias, and I'm not even going to talk about the idea that he has broken all these records and he scores more goals and everything. It's just because I get to see him so often, and, you know, just being able to watch him on a daily basis, or weekly basis, whereas it is, you know, I'm going to end up gravitating towards Lionel Messi as the footballer, because yeah, I've been privileged enough to be able to see him in the flesh and know exactly what he can do. And, you know, if I try to argue in favor of Maradona, I don't really have enough tangible evidence beyond what I've seen on videos or on television to sustain that debate. But yeah, Lionel Messi, I'll tell you a story actually. A few years back, I went, a friend of mine, he tries to do a trip most Novembers to try and go and watch football somewhere in Europe. So we try and get a trip in, and I think it was 2013, possibly. We decided to go to Barcelona, and so we could say, right, we've got to go and see Lionel Messi, because we'd been to Madrid a few years earlier and we saw Cristiano Ronaldo, and he'd scored a hat trick in a 5-1 win for Madrid against Bilbao. And we thought, wow, how privileged were we to get a game where Cristiano Ronaldo scores a hat trick? So we're like, okay, let's see if we can get lucky again. So we decided to go to watch Barcelona versus Granada in at the Nou Camp. And yeah, Messi was ruled out with injury before the game. So we unfortunately missed out. However, that's not the end of the story. Just a couple of years ago, 2019, and again, talk about things that, getting your luck in just before, obviously, the world shutting down. We the end of 2019, sort of November time, we went and saw Barcelona again. We thought, okay, this time he's surely got to play. So we went to watch Barcelona versus Mallorca, and lo and behold, Lionel Messi scores a hat-trick and they win 5-2. So I can stand out and say that I've seen both Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi scoring hat-tricks in the flesh. And yeah, the Messi hat-trick against Mallorca was just absolutely sensational. And it's, yeah, one of the best individual performances I've got to say that I've seen from a footballer. And so, yeah, I'll say Messi, although that's not to discount Mr. Diego Armando Maradona at all. When I was a kid and I was just getting into football, it was sort of towards the tail end of his career. And my dad used to always just tell me, like, Maradona, 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 how good he is. He's just a sensational footballer and everything that was good about him. And yeah, it's funny, the 94 World Cup, Nigeria played against Argentina, in as they tend to do in nearly every World Cup, it seems like. But that was the first one. And Diego Maradona played as what would be his final match for Argentina, as nobody knew at the time, but obviously he had the ban after that and never played for Argentina again on a competitive level anyway. And yeah, he played in that game, and he was instrumental in Argentina winning 2-1, but he was going to ground quite easily. And I think my dad turned on him that day and was just like, yeah, he keeps diving. Why is he diving all the time? And he just, yeah, it was quite amusing. But yeah, Maradona just, yeah, he almost stands alone and almost beyond these sort of comparisons. But if you ask me, I got to pick the boy Messi. So,
yeah, I believe that hat trick was well worth the wait.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if anyone wants to go and dig out the goals on YouTube or whatever, it's Barcelona 5, Mallorca 2 from November 2019. And trust me, every single goal is just fantastic. So, yeah. Although the best goal on the day was actually scored by Luis Suarez. So, yeah, he scored a weird little back-heeled sort of bounce volley kind of thing that bounced over the goalkeeper, which was pretty good. So, yeah. But all the Messi goals are still sensational.
Very much so. Okay, so that was the number two. Number three for pick one, African nation winning a World Cup or you yourself winning either a Pulitzer or a highly coveted award?
Oh, God, that's so hard. I mean, yeah, no, I'm going to be selfish and say it's got to be sort of me winning something. But equally, that's not to say that I would never want an African team to win a World Cup, especially maybe not necessarily in 2022. Of course, it'd be great if it happened, but if it happened in 2026, over there in America, oh, could you imagine? Can you imagine Nigeria winning the World Cup in 2026 in America? That'd be just absolutely incredible. Yeah, I'd love to see it.
So you said you were going to pick yourself one.
Yeah, I'm going to be selfish on that one. I'm sorry.
Okay, no worries. It's hey, you know, you're the one putting the work, so you get to pick. Unlimited free food or unlimited free travel?
Oh my goodness, I'd say unlimited free travel. I think, yeah, I'm happy to pay for a good meal. Yeah, I'm happy to pay for a good meal, but you know, if you can get me from A to B without having to deal with, you know, the paying for it, that'd be fantastic. Free travel, that'd be absolutely, oh yeah, definitely free travel. Yeah
usually, yeah. The travel is the one that's a bit more expensive anyways.
Yeah, so. Exactly, yeah. And like I say, I'm happy to pay for a good meal. If I've managed to travel somewhere for free, I'll be happy to pay for the meal when I get there, so you know.
That's very true. And then the last one, Burna Boy or Wizkid?
Oh, that's tough. That's really tough. That's hard because I was kind of late to the Wizkid party, but you know, I'm very much into, I mean, Essence. Oh my goodness. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's the obvious one to say, but I don't know, man. I think it just because I was into Burna first, I may just sway towards Burna Boy, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that may not be a popular answer amongst many people, but I think, yeah, I'm going Burna Boy.
It depends. I mean, they are two big artists. I think Burna Boy had the crown until Wizkid came with Essence this past summer.
Well, yeah, so. Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so that was the pick one segment. Now this is another segment. I've done these little musical bits a bit, but this one in itself is a new segment to the show. So it's called Rate These Classics. So I just went out on a limb and assumed that you listen to Afrobeats. Is that true?
I'm gonna disappoint you because I do, but I'm not an expert on these. You know, I'm definitely not a super Afrobeats kind of guy, but I listen to what's popular basically. So, you know, yeah.
Okay, that should work because these are very popular songs. So okay, all I need you to do, I'm gonna play like maybe 15-20 second snippet, and I'll just need you to rate these classics from 1 to 5. So you're gonna hear 5 snippets and you have to rank them from 1 to 5.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So gonna share my sound real quickly. Your audio. Okay, boom. So gonna play 5 songs and you just basically have to rate them from 1 to 5. And these are very popular songs, so go figure. And I think the first one, you kind of already mentioned it, so I have to start there. All right, so this is the first one. This, obviously, as you mentioned, is Wizkid and Tems. And this actually has Justin Bieber on the remix as well.
Yeah. Mm. So. Very, very interesting choice of remix. But yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I quite like it. So yeah, a lot of people find it's a contentious issue, but a lot of people have their issues with it. But I quite like it.
Mm. No, yeah, that's very true. Apparently, this was the song of the summer.
Mm.
So
yeah.
So that's number one. All right, so this will be song number 2. And because we played Wizkid, go figure, I have to play Burna Boy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you have these two famous Nigerian artists who have been top of the charts for a couple years now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wizkid was the first one. This is Burna Boy, yay. So already in your head, you should be thinking which song is better. I can kind of assume and think you're going to get swayed with one song over the other. But it's 1 and 2 so far. Mm-hmm. All right. So this was number 1, number 2. And this is song number 3. All right. So this is a classic in itself. When it comes to Afrobeats, this is Nah Baby by Flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You got 3 songs already. Something for you to think about. I think if I play the rest of the song, we'll be here forever.
Yeah, I know,
yeah. So that was number 3. This would be number 4. Also got to throw in Davido in here, another fellow Nigerian.
Yep.
I think it was 2018, 2019, he had this song, he had If, he had Assurance, he had so many songs. This would be the 4th one. And then this is also another popular one, number 5. Yep. So this is Drogba / Joanna by Afrobeat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our 5th song. All right. So those were the songs.
Okay. So I'm going to do this super quick and I'll probably change my mind if I had to do this at any other time. So I'm going to go at number 5. I'm going to go with Davido. I'm going to count, go backwards, go back up. 4, Flavor. Yep, Nah Baby. 3.
Ooh.
Essence. Yep, number 3. 2. Yay. And number 1, Joanna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe again, that's probably recently biased because you just came at the end and you just reminded me of just like, yeah, you know, you get in that groove and you're just like, yep, here we go. Yeah. And that's my 5.
I was going to say, I like how you didn't go for the recency bias because Tems and Wizkid and Justin Bieber's Essence, Song of the Summer.
Yeah. maybe because I've heard it so much recently, and you kind of think to yourself, yeah, maybe I'll just push that one around the back burner a bit. Yeah.
Even here in the States, they've been playing it almost on a daily basis now. Yeah. So I understand where you're coming from. but yeah, so that was the Rate These Classics segment. And I think people are having a lot of fun on the show, listening to music and being able to discuss music and not just sports, culture, food, that sort of thing. So yeah. I'll definitely have more of that. But coming back to the introspective side of things, I just have two more questions for you. This one is something that a lot of the younger audience, be it my younger siblings, younger cousins, are asking. They're now in the age where they're able to answer the million-dollar question, which is, what is it that you want to be when you want to grow up? So for them, what advice would you give them, especially, you know, those that are looking to chase their dreams or like find their purpose in life? What would you say?
Okay. I was thinking about this the other day, actually. Okay. So in terms of things like the book specifically, I had this whole idea of, you understand what I mean when I say imposter syndrome?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had kind of had that both before, during, and after writing the book where, you know, you have that bit of doubt about yourself where you think, who am I to say that I'm an authority on this? I'm interested in this subject, but there are so many people that probably know a hell of a lot more. And they're probably people that I would speak to who would be able to just, you know, put my knowledge to shame, kind of thing. But you know, what my first bit of advice would be, just get over that completely, because you know, everyone is learning. No matter how much you want to do something and how much you may feel like, you know, you're not quite ready for it, you will be one day if you just keep working at it, basically. So you know, take imposter syndrome and just try and acknowledge it, but don't overthink it, basically, because you know, it can help you in a sense that it could sort of encourage your learning and your process and how you want to improve yourself, but don't let it overwhelm you. Don't let the idea that you can't do something or you're not good enough be the thing that kills your dream. So the next part of that, sort of following on from that, is don't obsess about being the best, basically. I know it obviously it's great to have drive and ambition and want to get to the very top of whatever it is you're doing. But if you obsess about that, that could be something that kills your creativity, it kills the enjoyment more than anything as well. If you have an ambition and you want to do something because you love it, obsessing about reaching being the very best at what you do is going to impact you and it's not going to make it enjoyable. So, you know, and the fundamental point is, whatever you want to do, I mean, the reality check is that there will be people better than you in any walk of life, but initially, at least anyway, you know, you're going to walk in there and people are going to put you to shame with how much better that they can do something than you can. It's just about you sort of improving. And of course, it's like I say, it's great to be ambitious, but don't obsess about being the best. Enjoy the journey. Essentially, enjoy your learning process and, you know, fail fast if you have to. You know, if you get stuff wrong, you get stuff wrong. Everyone does. Everyone has. So that'd be, you know, just don't obsess about being the best. Just enjoy the ride and make sure you reach what you want to do, not necessarily what you think you have to do. And the last thing I'd say is just don't always be worried about negative feedback. Not everyone's going to like everything you do. You know, if you create something or do something whereby it gets universal acclaim, then, you know, congratulations to you. But there's literally nobody on the planet who has ever done or created anything that is universally liked by absolutely everyone. So negative feedback, haters, as we call them, they're going to be part of anything you want to do. So just, you know, just take it in your stride. I think, you know, you're never going to please everybody with what you do. So just make sure that that is not something that overwhelms your thought process when you're going into something.
So essentially give yourself grace.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful. And the last one, if you could describe your journey in one word, what would it be?
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I've got. It's been interesting.
Yeah. Why has it been interesting?
Well, because I've, again, sort of going back to that the advice thing, it was thinking that there was a pathway to want it, to getting to somewhere, and then realizing that the pathway isn't necessarily as smooth as you may think it is or may believe it is initially. I'll just say for the example, I did my degree. I did my master's degree in broadcast journalism. And then immediately I got a job at the BBC, which is most people's end goal. It's just like, wow, to get a job at the BBC would be like the be all and end all. It's the absolute epitome. And I'm not going to say I didn't have a great time working there. I worked there for 7 years. So, but it didn't move as it didn't move in the direction that I wanted to as quickly as I wanted to. And it just this idea that people looking from the outside thought, oh, wait, you work at the BBC, everything is fantastic. That's not me slagging off the company or anything like that. I'm just saying that things didn't necessarily go the way I thought that they would initially, or, you know, in sort of short term, medium term. So I would say that, yeah, it's interesting in the sense that you may not there's no pathway for people to want to or in a lot of walks of life to sort of, there's no pathway for people to follow that's exactly going to be right for everybody, basically.
No, that's great that you mentioned that. I mean, like you say, you just mentioned, oh, like you're working at the BBC, like what more can you ask for? Mm. But they're not the ones that are in your shoes. They're the ones that are coming in early, leaving in late. You know, you have all these packages and all this news that you have to break. And, you know, obviously the deadlines you have to meet, that sort of thing. So it's very glamorous, but it's also a lot of work. And that's something that you don't see, because you're only on TV for maybe 30 minutes and they're like, oh, okay, this seems easy, but it really isn't. So, thank you for sharing. And then lastly, how can people keep up with your work going forward?
I'm constantly on Twitter for my sins. I mean, I wish I wasn't so much, but if you find me, my name at Ibrahim Mustafa on Twitter. So I'm easily found there, usually making terrible jokes about football and stuff. I try not to take it too seriously anymore. I just try and have fun as more than anything, you know, try and steer away from politics as much as I can and all that sort of thing. So yeah, just try and enjoy myself on Twitter. I'm on Instagram as well. I started a page specifically for it's supposed to be like for football stuff. It's mostly my football shirt collection, that again, something else I got into over the course of 2020 and being locked down. So yeah, if you go to @myrandomfootball on Instagram, so that's me there. I also have my private Instagram, or it's not private, my personal Instagram, which is Ibstagram 3000. So IB instead of Instagram, it's like IBstagram. So yeah, Ibstagram 3000. That's just pictures of my life, so I don't really think that's of much interest to people who are listening. So yeah, the football one, My Random Football, is probably the one you want to follow, I think, if you're listening to this podcast. So,
and it's great that you mentioned the Twitter jokes part. Tom Williams, who I actually have his book called Do You Speak Football? It's a great book. He does a great job of that. I go on his Twitter, whatever play that happens, usually when you go on Twitter, something happens and the journalist will break it down. He'll make it a pun or a joke out of it, anything that's happened. So
I'm a big fan of puns. I mean, usually terrible puns, but that's part of the appeal, to try and find the worst possible pun you can make and go for it. So yeah.
So dad jokes.
Yes. Initially. Fun, right? Yes. Yeah. Mm.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Ibrahim, once again for stopping on the show. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, we talked about music, talked about sports, your journey, and gave out some great advice. For all the listeners out there, make sure you follow him on a different platforms. You make sure you go on Twitter and maybe have, you know, crack a laugh. There's going to be some puns. There's going to be some dad jokes there. So yeah, You're definitely in for a treat. And once again, thank you to the listeners, man. This was a passion project. The sports stories thing was something that I thought of. You know, people say you make decisions in the shower. I just boom, clicked somehow, some way, started reading someone's story. And I said, well, I can do like an audio cover some, you know, someone's story as well. So thank you to the listeners for tuning in. Thank you once again, Ibrahim, for hopping on the show. This has been Sports Stories with Bic, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Bic, thank you for having me.